coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations with Pastor Gregory Seltz.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. When you find something precious, you want to hold on to it. How wonderful to discover something precious that holds on to you. Pastor Gregory Seltz talks about the sure grip of God's grace.
Our light grip of faith, His sure grip of grace. That's the way to live life to its fullest. By God's grace, don't let go. Don't grip too hard with a death grip or a vice grip as if God is trying to somehow take it from you even as He gives it to you. Grip it confidently, lightly, because God's got a hold of you surely.
Stay with us for Pastor Seltz's message. Now here's our speaker, Pastor Gregory Seltz.
The Apostle John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Grace, mercy, and peace from our real present Lord Jesus. Amen. In the movie Castaway, Tom Hanks plays a character named Chuck Nolan, who works at FedEx. His job is to travel the world resolving productivity problems at various FedEx depots. On an ill-timed Christmas trip to Malaysia, flying through a violent storm, his airplane crashes into the Pacific Ocean. He clings to life, floating in the middle of an ocean on a life raft, and is finally washed up alive, though exhausted, on a deserted island. For 4 years, he survives all alone on that island in the middle of nowhere. But after years of unsuccessful attempts to escape, miraculously a gift of a makeshift sail washes up on shore, and he's finally able to make it out to sea. Even there, he almost dies, but somehow drifts into international shipping lanes, finally to be discovered by an ocean liner sailing back to America. Chuck, who was presumed dead, now may actually get back to Kelly the love of his life and the life he once lived. But it's at this point that the real human drama begins, I think. For upon returning to civilization, Chuck learns that he has long since been given up for dead. His family and friends held a funeral. Kelly finally got through her grief and remarried and now has a daughter with her new husband. And the most dramatic scene in the movie is when Kelly receives a phone call and can't believe the voice on the other end. She answers, listens for a moment, and then faints, falling to the floor. Chuck is really alive. It's almost too hard to believe. Hearing his voice was overwhelming, but later seeing him is almost too much to bear. He's right there. Chuck, the one whom she thought was dead, he's alive. She can see him, touch him, hear him, even kiss him again. Hard to believe, but true. Almost beyond belief, but true. Can you imagine the emotion of that kind of reality? Can you even fathom the joy in the midst of that wonder? Well, I think that's merely a glimpse of the emotion of our Bible text for today. The Apostle John, one who literally walked with Jesus, sat at his feet, listened to his voice. This John writes to this church back in the first century, but even more importantly to us too, telling us about this Jesus, who is unique in all the world. He was not only a real man, he was God in the flesh. He was not just a teacher or a rabbi, he was the Word of Life, this world's only Lord and Savior. This John, the last living apostle to witness the fullness of the life of Jesus, face to face, literally in the flesh, he writes this letter to encourage Christ's people in the world. He writes to make his joy, their joy, complete as they share their common faith in Jesus. He writes to warn Christians then, as well as now, about false teachings, false leaders, who would deny the uniqueness of this Jesus and lead people away from the grace that only he could give. He writes to give us what he himself has received, eternal life and fellowship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus. And that's what makes the beginning of this letter so unique. It's not a call to a unique piety. Lord knows there were many people then as now who have some new secret special plan to help you get your life in order with their advice and your best efforts. There were already people in John's day saying that they had a secret knowledge that went beyond Jesus, a really spiritual one, one that went beyond the message of mangers, crosses, and saviors who come in the flesh. Well, John will have none of that. God's good news from heaven literally was born into our flesh, walked this earth, lived our life, died our death, and gives us his mercy, his grace, his life as a gift. God's good news is about him, about who he is for us and for all. John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. You might say that John is looking for a variety of ways to make sure that you hear what he's saying about Jesus and his message for you. He talks about being in the presence of Jesus. But if you look at how he says it, it sounds kind of crude, or at least it's in a down-to-earth way of speaking. Why? Well, because he wants you to know that concerning God's life and salvation, this is as real as it gets. And this precious good news of God is something that you can truly, really receive. You know, have you ever held something truly precious in your hands? That's usually one of those experiences that you will never forget. Precious things that you're able to touch and hold, things that you're able to bring near to your heart. Wow, that's very special. Several years ago, my daughter visited her maternal grandfather. He was a veteran of World War II who had literally hit the beaches at Normandy. He brought her over to the case where he kept his medals from battle. He took them out and put them in her hands. She was able to see history right there before her eyes. She was able to hold them gently in her hands. She said to me, if Granddaddy left her anything, that would be the one thing that she would cherish, medals that he had earned fighting for freedom, freedom that we enjoy today. Precious. Or maybe it's a special heirloom from your grandmother, grandfather, mom, or dad. Maybe it's a special letter from the one you love, one that may have been written years ago, but that speaks clearly of a real love, a love that you can see in words, a love that's real because it's right there in your hands. Precious. Wonderful. Or maybe it's that newborn baby in a new mother's arms, or that newborn grandchild in granddaddy's hands. Now we're really talking precious, aren't we? That is the child that has been in a mother's womb for 9 months, kicking, moving, and growing. But now there the child is, living and breathing on its own, yet still safe in a mother's arms. Or that grandfather whose heart is melting because he literally is seeing life from both ends. As one gets older, the real precious things become even more magnified in their realness in our lives. You don't just want to hold such things. You want to hold them dear. Such things are precious, heirlooms, beloved trinkets that have a special place on your mantle or a special place on the shelf in the living room. And the people who are precious in your life, you hold them dear in your heart. But as true as all this is, the even greater good news of this text is that God holds you dear in his hands, in his heart, through the person and work of Jesus. John talks about having fellowship with these fellow believers, but this is no general talk about relationships. This is God's offer to bond us together in the real presence of his Son, our Savior. Fellowship with God is a reality that requires something spiritually tangible at the center, at the core, something from God himself to hold us to himself and to each other. It's not a fellowship of our common memories or our common emotions, no matter how powerful they might be. It's not even a fellowship of our common commitments. This is a fellowship that God himself offers and creates in us and through us as we receive him through common things like words, water, bread, and wine. It's a common receiving of the real present Lord, who forgives us each the same, who lives truly in us the same, and whose Spirit empowers us to be His people for others. Jesus is the message, and this message can be received. John is saying, that's what's most precious, almost too much to be believed, yet true. Even in this modern world of brazen pride, where people often feel that all their problems are to be solved at the altar of their best efforts and wisdom, there are yet people who yearn to know what love is, what peace is, what forgiveness can really be in their lives. I pray that you're one of those people today yearning to know such truth, such good news. That's why John says it so plainly to us. He says, we saw it, we lived it, we experienced it, we received it. God's love, mercy, grace, and peace has a name, Jesus the Christ, who actually walked our walk, breathed our air, ate our food, and gave us His life. Kathy Tricoli, in her title song from her album Love Has a Name, says this so beautifully in music. You know, the great thing about music, about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, is that they say so beautifully, so clearly, incredible Bible truths in the power, the joy that the garment of music can bring. She sings it well when she says, love has a name, love has a face, and when you know love, you know you're not the same. Love never dies, love never leaves, and when hope is gone, love will believe. Love every day gives love away. Love has a name. Love came from heaven and died for us all. Now we're forgiven by the Savior of the world, the Savior of the world. I think that John would have loved it if someone would have put this text to music too. I think he wouldn't have just said it, he would have sung it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So be amazed anew with the Apostle John this morning. In fact, why not read the whole letter? It's very short but powerful. With John, then, look, touch, hold this incredible Messiah Jesus to yourself in faith. He is God in the flesh. He is the one who died, yet now He lives. He is the one who forgives, empowers, and blesses you as only He can. Trust Him. Get to know Him through His Word. There is no person like Him. There is no Savior like Him. There is no God like Him. Do you wish to know God? He wants to know you. Do you wish to find God? He wants to be found. He is a Savior who is coming to you today in the very words of this lesson, in the very words on this radio station, so that you can know the One who wants to be known by you. But be careful here, my friend. Remember, the great Apostle John isn't cajoling us to hold on to Jesus tighter. This isn't some moralistic call to be a more concerned Christian about the things of Jesus, so that hopefully then and only then will Jesus bless you. This is a message proclaiming the utter joy of knowing that Jesus wishes to come to you through His gifts. Gifts put in your hands, into your eyes, into your hearts and minds, to bring you to the joy of faith, to bless you by the power of His Spirit, to give you life abundantly, now and forever. In fact, the real power of the Christian life is to know that faith's power is the strength of His grip of grace, His hold on your life. Don't ever confuse the confidence that God wants for you to have in your walk of faith with Him with the power of your decisions. Don't ever give in to the temptation that it has to do with the strength of your commitment to Him. For whether you are weak or whether you are strong, remember, it is because of Jesus that you are the Lord's. Even growing up and maturing in your walk with Him is a daily call to remember the strength of His grip of grace in your life, the power of His mercy in your life. You know, and sometimes it's really good to know that my grip isn't the key, isn't it? Sometimes I'm just thankful that I'm still hanging on, or better, that He's got me even more strongly when I feel weak and overwhelmed. It takes the pressure off, doesn't it, to know that our joy, our forgiveness, our peace is in His hands. So with eyes that can read His Word, with a mind that can be led by His promises, with a mouth that can taste His grace in His supper, and with confidence that He holds on to me by the power of His Spirit, I can strive to live life faithfully, boldly, even courageously, for His glory and for my neighbor's good. This confidence doesn't mean that Christians are content to be lazy or slothful in their lives of grace. But it is good to know that as we grab a hold of our lives of grace and try to live that life in God's Spirit, it's good to know that even there, the strength of our grip isn't the key. Our light grip of faith, His sure grip of grace, in action, in life, that's the way to live life to its fullest. By God's grace, don't let go. Grab hold of your life confidently, joyfully, and lightly. Don't grip too hard with a death grip or a vice grip as if God is trying to somehow take it from you even as He gives it to you. No, grip it confidently, lightly, because God's got a hold of you surely. And to use a golf metaphor, swing away. That was great advice given to one of the greatest golfers of all time who sadly may never be recognized as such. Why? Because at the most dramatic moments of his career, he faltered. Greg Norman was one of the greatest golfers to ever have played the game. Early in his career, the swashbuckling star burst on the golf scene from Australia with a game that many thought would land him someday in the same discussion as Nicklaus, Palmer, and Hogan. But that was not to be. Several times in his career, freak things began to happen to him or against him in the final rounds of major tournaments. Finally, one fateful day, he fell apart on the last round in one of the biggest tournaments of his life. Jack Nicklaus, who many believe was the greatest golfer of all time, was rooting for him to succeed. He noticed that despite all of his talent, one thing continued to happen to him under pressure. That smooth, powerful swing suddenly was full of tension. So before the final round at the Masters, he was said to have told him, "Greg, don't grip the club so hard. Lighten your grip. Let the club do its work." Well, sadly, whether he couldn't or wouldn't, Norman's grip tightened that day, and he lost it all. The joy of our life in Jesus Christ is not even the strength of our faith grip of His grace. It's the real present grace grip of His message in our lives. Nicklaus may have urged Norman to lighten his grip so that the club could do its work. John would tell us today to lighten our grip so that the cross, the Word of life, literally and truly in our lives, can do its work for us and through us to others. John is proclaiming to you today a Word of life for your life. But it's not merely a word on a page or a thought in our minds. This message is about a real Lord and Savior, one that John literally saw, touched, hugged, and held. It was precious in his hands. But the greatest news of all is that this word, Jesus, came literally for John, to John. This Savior held on to him preciously, graciously, mercifully, eternally, in words he could hear, water in which he could be washed, and bread and wine that he could receive. Let Jesus hold you today the same by His grace. Receive all that He has come to give you by faith, because He, the precious one, the unique Savior for the whole world, He will never lose His grip on you. For that which is precious holds. Amen.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. That was music from the CD series Hymns for All Saints. Today's program also features organists John Banky and David Jerwin. Download free music for Easter, arranged and performed by Peter Prochnow. Professor Prochnow directs the Worship Arts Program at Concordia University in Seward, Nebraska. For your free music download, go to LutheranHour.org and click on the banner. That's LutheranHour.org. What is your place in God's plan? How might God use you and the gifts He's given you? For the answers, read the free booklet, Your Place in God's Plan. For a free copy, call the Lutheran Hour toll-free, 1-855-JOHN-3-16. Each week, the Lutheran Hour shares the good news of God's forgiving love for us in Jesus Christ. Your ongoing support makes this ministry possible. Your prayers and gifts help us bring the message of God's grace to people all over the world. Please pray for God's continued blessings upon this work and consider making a gift as you are able. Call 1-855-JOHN-3-16 or visit our website, LutheranHour.org, or write The Lutheran Hour, 660 Mason Ridge Center Drive, St. Louis, Missouri, 63141. With your continued faithful support, we are bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Now Pastor Seltz leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Could this be a John the Baptist moment for the church? Pastor Gregory Seltz responds to questions from listeners. I'm Mark Eicher. This is actually a follow-up discussion concerning a topic that's been in the news concerning the church. Brings to mind Matthew 14, the story of John the Baptist. He was imprisoned, later beheaded, because he spoke out against his king, you know, the government of his day. Can or does something like that still happen today?
Well, Mark, our listener is asking a what's the worst that can happen type question, that's for sure. And Jesus does tell those first disciples in Luke chapter 12, even then, don't be afraid when you are dragged before the leaders and the magistrates.
Well, that might describe a recent hearing in which prominent church leaders were called to testify before a congressional hearing having to do with legislation that many Christians found objectionable. And they were able to go there and speak their mind freely without coercion.
Yes, you're right. And that healthcare legislation was an example of how the church could publicly respond to the activities of the United States government, that's for sure. And thank God there wasn't a Herod to John the Baptist type of response.
Well, that's due in part to the religious freedom that citizens enjoy in the United States.
That's true. You know, the U.S. and many Western countries were founded differently than most. They were founded with a healthy suspicion of unchecked government power and a confidence in the power of the individual, especially when they live as free citizens, self-governed from the motivation of religion and faith.
And also, we should keep in mind that when we speak the gospel, We always speak that in the context of real life.
That's true. But let me say this. Let me assure you and all the listeners of the Lutheran Hour, Lutheran Hour Ministries has no desire to become political, as if political solutions are the answer to the problems that we face, not only with each other, but before God. But there are public issues from time to time that challenge God's authority in the world, namely that He is the Creator and that all life is His, or challenge the structures of family, that these things are meant to be blessings for all in this world. Such things demand a perspective from His church, even though the ultimate solution is to be found in His grace alone through the person and work of Jesus. So we're never going to tire of proclaiming that good news for all to hear, but in the realities of day-to-day living.
All right, so called to be a prophetic voice, but what happened to John the Baptist? That couldn't happen here.
Well, yes, with a worldview that values personal and religious freedom, it wouldn't, but there are many today, even in our schools of higher education, who believe that the church, especially the Christian church, is the problem and not the solution. So over time, such a worldview would definitely react differently to such a public challenge from the church.
Should we then be worried about such things?
Well, maybe worried isn't the right word. You know, as Christians, we need to be prepared in all situations to give an account of the hope that is within us, as 1 Peter 3:15 says. And sometimes that entails sharing our opposition to those false hopes that would destroy us.
Right. Speaking out then about moral issues, especially the ones that relate to matters of life, family, and so forth, we need to speak the truth not just for our own sake, but really for the sake of others as well.
Exactly. You know, we should be able to explain to others, especially those who aren't Christians, why we're publicly speaking out on such things for their sake and not just for our own.
Even so, there's no guarantee you won't bring about a backlash from your leaders.
No guarantees at all. In fact, remember, such a backlash happened to many in the early church. Those early years of the Christian church found many people suffering for their faith at the hands of the government, especially when leaders began to view the Christian church as a threat, or at least as a nuisance that can be used as political cover for poor leadership. But even there, what people meant for evil, God actually used for good. So the church actually grew because of the persecution. As the old saying goes, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church.
So the freedom that we have then to speak the gospel freely is a modern opportunity to spread the church free from persecution, thank God.
Thank God indeed.
Thank you, Pastor Seltz. With that, we come to the end of our broadcast for another week. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.